At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
WFAN and WFAN-FM New York, a Radio.com sports station.
This portion of our program with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. She has joined us before on our program. She's a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, author of Life Begins at 60, A New View on Motherhood, Marriage, and Reinventing Ourselves, an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness. And she is joining us on our program today. Well, we're going to be talking about the relationship with one's dad or father in adolescence, and the effect that that has on your mental health as an adult. It's nice to have you join us again on our program. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning to you.
That idea of the relationship with one's father in adolescence having an impact on one's mental health as an adult, is that surprising to some people when you mention that?
It's absolutely surprising. Most people feel the mother plays the major role. But guess what? Research is showing today that fathers are the ones that have the biggest impact on both daughters and sons.
That's surprising. Especially on daughters and sons.
Daughters and sons, because what happens is when a daughter has the impression that she's being supported for her career rather than being supported because she looks beautiful or she is pleasing and taken care of, that has a huge impact as well on how she sees herself through her father, the opposite sex. And then she tends to look for that in other men as well. And then, of course, the male role model for boys is extremely important because it addresses their masculinity. It addresses the way they need to be as a role model for their children and their lives. So it's hugely important for children to see themselves in a very supportive role through their fathers, who are often less of the caretaker, but more of the one who goes out there in the world and brings back information.
What about the situation where the father, and you know, we see this very often these days, the father's the one who's constantly cracking jokes. What kind of influence does that have?
That could be the best father to have. You know, life brings you all kinds of problems. And how you cope with those problems really make the huge difference. So if you could be lighthearted and you can take care of it in a way that doesn't affect you and you don't stay stuck with it, well, as an adult, you also have comfort with humor, and then you can also resolve situations in a way that's much more doable than having it affect you even after the problem has finished.
As opposed to the situation where, you know, some kids grew up with that dad that just seemed to be angry all the time.
You know, that's one of the worst kind of fathers to have. Because, you know, you live in a state of fear. Is he going to be mad about something? And then what happens, you want to please him. And trying to please him puts you in a subservient role and makes you feel criticized and rejected. And then a lot of people in my practice come to me and say, why is it the very things I didn't like my parents or my mother, my father, I have become? Because you continue, even when they're no longer around, to justify why they behave towards you. So you're critical of yourself, you reject yourself in front of other people, you put yourself down, and then you become a victim, and nobody helps a victim, and you stay stuck.
Can this also affect how it is that as adults, if you've had a father like this, being able to really trust other adults?
No, you have difficulty developing trust on both a professional and personal level. And then that gets you in trouble because you have to trust somebody somewhere. Not everyone's not telling the truth. So you're right, it does develop into something much more challenging as you become an adult. And it's sad because these fathers, these angry fathers, have issues that if only they could get help, they would be happier as well.
The father who seems to be Mr. Fix-It, literally, always the handyman there to fix whatever, what does that instill in children?
That's a wonderful father to have because it helps you to be creative. It helps you to be inventive. It helps you to think out of the box. So if you go in that direction, and also somebody who is into reading, into exploring life, into finding out new things about what life can offer you, well, this gives children a sense of independence and appreciation for knowledge. And these kids often become entrepreneurs and leaders as well because they trust their judgment.
The overachieving dad.
Well, he's interesting because he's very successful, and it can go either way. You can have children who doubt themselves because they can never be as successful. So they're always delaying their gratification. I have to do this one more thing. And, you know, men into adulthood tend to do that. They tend to feel it's never enough, so they never get to that right place. But if that father brings you along with him and includes you, then you learn how to be successful as well. And isn't that a wonderful way to have a future for yourself, to have somebody as a role model who really knows the ropes?
Well, though, wouldn't there be a certain level of insecurity that could develop if the child of somebody who is that overachiever?
Absolutely. You know, a child who is with an overachiever can develop insecurity and feel inadequate because they're constantly comparing themselves. So that's something that we need to stop doing no matter who our parents are or no matter what happens because someone else is always going to be doing something better. But if you're living with someone, especially, and it's a constant everyday theme that they are not doing as well, and it's a constant reminder, we can really learn from that in general, that when you have a father who challenges you, meet up to your own challenge of who you are and what you can do. Maybe you can do something in a different area. Not everyone is good in this with the same type of situation. Other people are good in math. Other people are good in art. And who can determine what is most important? You should celebrate everything that you are and be aware of the joy coming from what it is that you're doing, not what somebody else is doing.
What about the situation where you've got basically a helicopter parent in the dad?
That's a very interesting kind of father, because he's going to become the coach. He's going to be doing your artwork for you in school. And in a sense, you won't be able to fail, because he's going to be right there picking up the pieces. But what happens as an adult, you don't fail, well, it's difficult to succeed if you don't give yourself the opportunity to try, and that is the prerequisite for succeeding. So these fathers need to step back, relax, and help the children make decisions for themselves so they can develop without having this codependency on other people.
The father who's an alcohol or drug abuser, the effect that has on the children.
Well, you know, this is something that's genetic. This is something that's very difficult to change. So we're talking about an addiction, and these parents are absolutely poor role models, and they themselves need guidance. And they have difficulty giving that to their children. Love, the children need love, unconditional love, and guidance. So they could often develop, the children of these fathers, obsessive-compulsive behavior, codependency, and even become addicts themselves into adulthood. But here's another opportunity to take that type of addictive behavior, obsessive-compulsive behavior, that you really can't help, as I said. It could be genetic. But change it into something else. You can go into a field that helps you to be obsessive with, let's say, computer science, where you could really reach all kinds of levels of accomplishments and achievements, and it doesn't have to be negative. Because, you know, our younger generation, the millennials, are very addicted to the computers and to looking at what is going on through the world, through computers, and they are obsessive-compulsive. But then again, if they can help with technology and make changes in the world, how great is that?
Mm. The situation with senior citizens where their health is improving, but at the same time, rates of depression and anxiety are rising. How can that be?
We have so many things going on today in our world. Now, you said seniors?
Mm-hmm.
Seniors really are very interesting people because they have a lot of wisdom to offer. And today we're living younger longer. So they also have the youthfulness on their side. But, you know, depression comes from not having control often. And when you have to worry about your health benefits, relationship problems that often change, what it is that you're financially benefiting from, and you're limited to making choices with those finances. So life does have its challenges as you get older. But, you know, it's really what defines you is having some kind of passion for what it is you're doing and being productive in some way, giving, and not necessarily having to get back, but that's just the joy of giving that can make all the difference in the world, because it really isn't about money. It's more about the feeling you have of making some kind of difference to other people that really brings joy and can help with depression.
Rick Wolf is along with the Sports Edge program after our top of the hour update at 8 o'clock. Ed Randall is by talking baseball after our 9 o'clock update here on The Fan. Frieda Birnbaum is talking with us on our program. She is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, author of Life Begins at 60, a new view on motherhood, marriage, and reinventing ourselves. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. Final thoughts in our discussion today, and this deals with teens and sexting. How do parents get a handle on this?
You know, there's certain apps, first of all, that can really identify this, certain words that are used and block the people. As well as having a relationship, it's harder today to have a relationship with your kids, with your teens, than it used to be because, as I said, they're so addicted to this, especially boys. So we need to have some kind of set rules. By the way, parents should be able to come into the room, should be able to see what they're doing. And there are apps, again, that they can look and see. I have a patient who actually came in reporting to me what his son is talking about, what he's connecting to his friends on the computer, on the Internet. So there are ways to do that. But when you do have a closer relationship with your children, and that means talking about the smallest things, then they will be comfortable talking to you about bigger things. But teenagers need to know the consequences of going viral when you're doing this and the damage it could cause to the other person. There have actually been suicides because of this as well, because people, when they're not face-to-face, are bolder and being inappropriate. So saying things about other people, even fat-shaming or sexting or whatever that is, or showing pictures of yourself in the nude, well, you know what? That's not going to be something that's going to be private. And what happens if you break up with each other? Do you think you can guarantee that it's going to be confidential? Absolutely not. You know, we need to have programs for teenagers, even in school, about the implications of what it is to be able to have privacy on the Internet, which you cannot guarantee. And these kids are bullied, and we need to have programs in school that are mandatory, how to behave with one another, and what to do when this happens. We need to stand up for ourselves, not to be able to be passive and give in. Because I've heard so many teenagers tell me, well, if you're nice, you're not going to go on their level. No. Bullies like to go to the weakest link. You need to be able to stand up to them and take care of yourself and not necessarily go to authorities. Because as adults, some of the same people that are bullied as teenagers are bullied as adults, and there are no authorities around. You need to be your own authority.
Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, thank you very much for joining us on our program. You shared an awful lot with us. Certainly good luck with your work and with your book, too.
Thank you for your wonderful questions. I appreciate it. Take care. Always a pleasure.
I'm Bob Salter, joined by Florence Ann Romano. She's the Windy City Nanny. Yep, Windy City Nanny, that's all as one word, .com. She's a dedicated philanthropist, former nanny, who's always had a special place in her heart for children. She worked for over 15 years as a nanny. First of all, it's nice to have you join us on our program.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I want to do some background. We're going to be talking about this whole issue or issues surrounding when newborns are left in the hands of a nanny. And we'll get into talking about a specific instance in this case in just a moment or two. I use that term nanny, and I often wonder in our society how many people are really familiar with what a nanny does and even the perception that people have of the work of a nanny.
That definition is definitely changing, and because of how many families today actually have a caretaker or a nanny in their home, that statistic is actually 60%, if you can believe it. 60% of families in America today have a nanny or a caretaker for their children, and that statistic rises in line with the employment rate. So what we're seeing is not something that is trendy. We're seeing something that is a behavior of society. And the reason for this is that more and more parents are both working outside of the home and they need someone taking care of their children. Now, beyond that, a nanny can be someone that lives in with you, which I think most people think when they think nanny, they think, oh, Upper East Side, New York, or live-in nanny, that sort of thing. And it really is a very different definition today, because now we have nannies that are maybe just perhaps there during the day while the parents are at work. They still do have live-in nannies, but really it's anyone that's taking care of their children. So it's a pretty broad definition now. And there's a stigma attached to it, unfortunately, because we hear reports all the time about, you know, the hot nannies in Hollywood that are cheating with the spouses and all sorts of things. And so it's unfortunate that that's the rap that nannies have gotten now. But the definition of what a nanny is definitely changes per household.
How did you get started as a nanny?
I have to say it goes way back to when I was a little girl and I used to say to my mom, can we go to the hospital to get my baby? And by that I meant, can we go to the toy store so I can get my baby doll? I just loved children from a very early age. And at about around 11 years old, I started as a mother's helper with a couple different families in the neighborhood to learn really how to be a babysitter, then, you know, to become a nanny. And I really just fell in love with it right then and there.
And that experience as a nanny, in sharing that experience with others, what do you find most surprises people about what nannies really do versus what people think they do?
The most surprising element, I think, of being a nanny is really the fact that you are an extension of that family or an extension of those parents. I like to say, by definition, a nanny is an extension of the parents' eyes, ears, and heart. And that, to me, is amazing. It's an amazing honor. And I don't think that people understand how attached these nannies get to these children and to these families and what they're actually doing in terms of interacting with these children. They are essentially a role model for these kids. They are with them during very impressionable years, and they're helping them through obstacles and sadness and heartache and joy, and they're seeing it all. So this is really a person that has an inside view to a life that's being formed, a journey that's happening. So that's the deepest, you know, way to describe it. But I don't think people necessarily understand the attachment there.
Sharing your experiences in a book, which you did in Nanny and Me, which was officially published by Mascot Books in 2015, what was that like?
It was surreal. I knew I wanted to write children's books very long ago, before really I wanted to do anything else. And I thought to myself, what am I going to write about? It's just going to have to come to me organically. And when I looked at the children's book market and I saw that there really wasn't anything out there that spoke to the child specifically in this situation about what happens when mom and dad go to work and who stays home with you, I felt that it was a huge disservice to the most important person in the equation, and that's the child, because there are so many questions associated with this process, with the parents leaving. The child looks inward and thinks, is it because mom and dad don't love me? Or, you know, why other moms stay home? Why is it mine? Other dads stay home? Why is it mine? There are so many questions. And you want to put the child's mind at ease knowing that they're going to be safe and loved. And beyond that, the parents also need peace of mind knowing that they're making the right decision for their child. So seeing this book now being homes and being used as a tool to help educate the children and the parents is really just a beautiful moment for me.
You mentioned a term a couple of moments ago when you used the term a hot nanny.
Mm-hmm.
This always comes up in discussions about this. Should it even be an issue as to whether or not a hot nanny should be hired?
It depends on the family dynamic. I never want to be one to judge a book by its cover or say that you can't have anyone attractive in your household. It really begins with the interview process. And what I mean by this is you and your spouse or, you know, whomever it is who's making this decision with you, and if it's just yourself, that's fine too. But when you're sitting down with these prospective nannies, and a nanny, it could be a woman or a man, let's be honest, today we have a lot of, you know, male nannies as well. If this person is very attractive and you don't think that you are comfortable with that, then you and your spouse, you and your partner need to have a conversation about that right from the get-go. And even if it's uncomfortable and you say, honey, you know, I just don't think that I could handle this, or I just don't think this is the right thing for our family. Instead of getting mad at your husband or your wife or your spouse for being honest about that, be thankful that they were honest about it and move on to the next person, because there always will be someone else that's qualified. But if you're going to bring temptation into the house in some way, shape, or form, you're going to be taking away from what the nanny is supposed to be doing, and that is taking care of the children, and what you're supposed to be doing, and that's making sure the nanny is taking care of the children.
Ed Randall is by talking baseball after our 9 o'clock update. Rick Wolf has the sports edge after our 8 o'clock update this Sunday morning.
Radio.com.
Bob Salter. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66. WFAN.
On a program with Florence Ann Romano. She's the Windy City Nanny. Windy City Nanny, that's all as one word, .com. That process of hiring a nanny, what is that like?
It's very challenging, and it can be daunting. And I see a lot of parents wanting to rush through it because, let's face it, life is busy. And most of the time you're hiring a nanny, it's because you have to go back to work or something has happened where you realize that you need help and you want to make that as seamless as possible, as efficient as possible. And I agree, let's make it as easy as we can. But that doesn't mean that it's not hard work when actually vetting these nannies. So I suggest, you know, you could use a nanny service. There's plenty of things online now. You can go and you can use things like care.com or au pair, you know, services. Those are fine, but that doesn't let you off the hook of actually doing the work and making sure that this is the right person for your home. So you need to take matters into your own hands and have those interviews. I suggest a tiered process. The first one, you meet, have coffee, get to know them, really do a deep dive into the people that they, you know, the person that they are. This is not a corporate interview. Really, there are no questions that you cannot ask. You can talk about religion. You can talk about their backgrounds. And I suggest that you do, because this person is going to be influencing your child. And you need to talk about what your values are as a family. You know, what is your religion? Will that nanny have to take your kids to church? You know, these are all things that you need to discuss way beforehand, because this is my famous phrase, if we don't agree, it's not for me. And that's both for the nanny and the parent. You have to be on the same page, because if you're not, you're really setting yourself up for disaster.
The idea of a nanny dress code, is that something you think parents should require?
Whatever parents need to do to make themselves comfortable, they should be able to do. If that's wearing a uniform, so be it. If that's saying that there's only a certain type of street clothes that they want, so be it. It is what is important and professional to the family. And if you don't agree as the nanny, again, that's not the family for you.
What about those situations where you have difficult children and behavior issues?
Because you're an extension of the family, of the parents, you need to understand as a nanny that you'll probably have to discipline in some way. This is not This is not 100% across the board. But again, this is something going back to the interview process, you need to make sure you're talking about. You, the parent, need to make sure it's clear that you are going to be disciplining the children. But you have to define what discipline means. That's very, very different from family to family. Discipline could mean spanking. Discipline could mean absolutely no physical contact at all, but we're just talking about grounding or, you know, taking things away. You have to be very clear with your nanny about where their job ends and begins in terms of discipline.
When we're talking about this idea of role of discipline and how disciplinary differences may be managed, is that a tricky thing for parents to establish?
It's hard because parents, when it comes to discipline anyway, have a little bit of a difficult time figuring out where they want to stand with that. Because I think as parents go, they're trying to figure out what works for the child. It's always a customized situation, truthfully. Not every disciplinary action is going to work with every child. So you have to get to know the child in order to know what's going to work and not work with them. So that, I think, is an interesting caveat to the whole situation. You, as the nanny, are going to have to spend time getting to know that child, and then perhaps have to be reporting back to the parents about what you're finding is working and not working. Because, again, you, the nanny, are having a window into the world of this child and spending so much time with them that you may be noticing behavior that the parents aren't. So this is another sticky situation. You're really walking a fine line. But the best thing for all parties is that nannies and parents have a transparency and have an open communication where they look at themselves as a unified front and are able to have that conversation in a constructive way.
What about creating an environment that promotes learning? Because that's an important part of the child's development, too.
Learning was always the most important part of the day for me with children. I always wanted to make sure that we were learning something. We were always working on our colors and our ABCs and our 1-2-3s and all of that. And again, that's something you want to discuss with the parents from the beginning about defining what education and learning means to them, because education could be just strictly workbooks. We could be just doing math equations all day long. And gosh, I hope not for that was me. I was hoping not for my sake that it was going to be math equations all day long. but for other parents, it could be going to museums, getting that culture. That could be the definition of education to them, really exposing them to different things. So again, these are all things you need to cover from the get-go in those interviews, because everybody has a different idea about what that means. And you, the parent, need to communicate to the nanny the values of your family, the values of discipline, the values of education. That all is different in every single family.
Now we get to the situation that occurred with John Legend and his wife, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy
Teigen.
Yes. They have a night out, okay? Mm-hmm. They have a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
The newborn is left with the nanny, and mm-hmm. basically, she gets blasted
mm-hmm.
online.
Mm-hmm.
Fair
yep.
or not fair?
Totally unfair. Totally unfair. And I'll tell you, when I first saw that story come out, I saw it on the news, and I went, oh, here we go. And this is exactly what the problem is with the stigma with a nanny, is people think that parents use nannies as a replacement for themselves so they don't have to parent, so they get off the hook, so they don't have to be a part of their children's lives. I mean, that to me just sounds like such a bunch of bunk, because the reason the nanny is there is to help the family as a whole. Anyone that saw Mary Poppins, the movie, and I'm sure most of people have, will know that Mary Poppins is there to help unify that family, heal that family, bring that family together. If you have the right nanny in your home, that's what that nanny is going to do. In the case of Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, every parent is entitled to a little time off. No one spends 100% of the time with their child. It's no different than a family who's not in the limelight, going out for like an hour or two just for dinner to get out of the house to give them a little break. Everyone is entitled to that. But because they are out there, you know, in the magazines, they're always looking for a reason to get upset or get up in arms about it or start a conversation that's controversial. But I felt so badly for her because mothers at that point are already sensitive. There's a lot of hormones going around. And the worst thing a new mother can ever hear from someone is they think that they're doing the wrong thing for their child. Imagine, you know, being a celebrity and then hearing from, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people saying, gosh, you're such a bad mother, and getting a finger pointed at you like that. That's embarrassing. And it makes you feel bad, as strong as she might be about it. I felt very badly for her just as a mother, regardless of her celebrity status. That was very wrong. And I think very, just unfortunate for her as a new mom, she's trying to do the right thing for her child, who loves her child so much, and she's getting blasted for it, making it sound like she's a bad mother and doesn't care.
What about that whole idea of just the importance of some free time for a new mom?
A new mom, the things that go on in that poor new mom's head, it's all about this new child, this new life you're in charge of. And that is a daunting, exhausting, beautiful task that you now have in front of you. But the only way for someone to do their job well is to make sure they have a little break here and there. Any of us, you know, anyone with jobs, it's important that on the weekends you get a little downtime, you get a little vacation time. Why? Because recharging is important for you and for you to do your job well and to be, you know, a member of society that is, you know, proactive and professional and engaging, all these things. The only way to do it is if you have a little break. And that goes for parents, too. Every parent deserves a break.
And when we talk about the idea of the benefits of having a nanny, and this will kind of bring us full circle in our discussion, we're talking with Florence Ann Romano on our program. She's the Windy City Nanny, WindyCityNanny, all as one word, .com. What would you point to as the benefits of having a nanny?
Depending on the situation, if you're both working, both parents are working, or sometimes there are nannies in the home, and this is also controversial, where the mother is not working or the father is not working and there is still a nanny in the house. It's not up to anyone to judge what you need to do to make your family whole, to make your family work. But having a nanny is going to complete your family in the way that your family needs it completed. If there's a void that needs filling and the nanny is doing that, then that's a beautiful blessing for your family. It can help educate the child. This nanny can help bring a little bit more efficiency to the family. This nanny can help bring another a role model into the fold. There are many different benefits to having a nanny, but the most important thing to remember is that a nanny is there to help the family function. And you, the parent, need to decide what that person looks like, who that person is, how do they fit in the family. You make the rules as the parent. And it should be a beautiful and wonderful experience. And this person should be a part of your family and an extension of you. And if you can do that, then you're going to be set up for a lifetime of memories. And it will be the best thing you ever did for not only your children, but you as well.
Florence Ann Romano, the Windy City Nanny, our guest this portion of our program. She's also the author of Nanny and Me, published by Mascot Books in 2015. Thank you very much for joining us. Certainly good luck continued with your work.
Thank you for having me.
Well, a fine howdy-do. That'll do it for us, too. We're wrapped up on our program. We make way for Rick Wolf. The top of the hour update precedes him. The Sports Edge program follows that. After our 9 o'clock update, Ed Randall is by. He'll be talking baseball here on The Fan.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.